You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Into the Dynasty Draft Room podcast presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Sirfoss, joined by always with Eric Adams. At tonight's episode, we have special guests Shane Swagger from Super Flexible Pod and Rookie Fever Pod. Hey guys, remember?
Yeah, you got it.
I'm big on it. Started a little bit. But, yeah, guys, remember, subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review on anywhere you listen to your podcast and hop into our Discord channel, talk some football with us. So tonight we have Shane Swagger on. We're going to talk some super flex strategies. And Shane, welcome to the show. And tell everybody where they can find you and what's going on.
Man, thanks for having me here, guys. I'm excited. I've looked at the show sheet. This is some right up my alley, easy but important stuff. So always down to talk some super flex. So do the Super Flexible Podcast. Sometimes just me. Sometimes you'll hear John Hogue on there with me. Sometimes Jeremy Bruin, the Dynasty Madman. But love me some super flexible. And then, like you said, into the show, there's Rookie Fever with Dave Wright, FF_Spaceman, and Feverish Finero. So, love this stuff. One time a year.
I didn't realize when the first Superflex League I did was the Scott Fishbowl. And, like, I'd never done it. I didn't know much about it. And I was, like, Googling through podcasts. And this is well before I knew you. And that's when I went and listened to it, like, trying to get myself, catch myself up. So, it was great stuff.
Yeah, but, I appreciate you. And then you can find most of that stuff too. We do some stuff at Superflex City. It'd be a shame if I didn't mention the stuff we're trying to do over there too.
Yeah, man. What drew you to Superflex to start? Like, what brought that's where you wanted to focus?
Oh man, that's tough. Because I tried to think about this too. It started like two dynasties at that point, one quarterback. Because I know you can kind of look at your leagues and when you joined them. And then the third one was Superflex. And I think it was just that next step. The depth of this is probably too real. I don't know. But I think all of us, once you get to this point, I think a lot of the people you see in the community have some sort of a addictive personality. And I'm not saying that they're necessarily addicted to drugs or have a problem. But I think that it just kind of builds up to this, and then you see at a certain point that next thing, and it was super flex. And for me, once I got in, I mean, it was it.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. I mean, you're doing regular leagues and dynasty and super flex, then IDP, then campus to Canton. Super flex is that nice.
Yeah, it was.
We lost him there.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Well, lost him there for a second.
Oh no, did I freeze or?
Yeah. All good, you're back.
You guys now.
Yeah. While we're waiting, Eric, how long have you been doing Super Flex Leagues now?
Actually, Ryan, that Devy League that we first took part in, that was my first ever Superflex League that year. And that's actually a horror story for me, because if you remember, I had Garoppolo and I had Andrew Luck. Pretty sure Garoppolo got hurt. Then Andrew Luck retired. Then I had no quarterback in a Superflex League. So that was just about as rough as it gets, as rude of a welcome as you can get in Superflex.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a nightmare. That was, I think, the second one I did. I think we got Shane back here. You still there?
I'm back. Yeah, sorry. I have no idea what happened there. I don't know what you heard and what you didn't hear.
we were talking about the slippery slope and the super flex, and how it's just the next step of where you're going to fantasy.
Oh, yes. And kind of that addictive personality. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, it gives an important role to players that are putting up points in fantasy football, and that's those quarterbacks that otherwise are kind of meaningless, and you're just leaving so many points on the bench. So it makes all these other players viable and introduces a new strategy. I think anytime you can implicate a new type of league, you're going to get better at one quarterback as well, or whatever was below it. I think that, I don't want to say below it, but whatever you were doing first, because I don't want to demean like one quarterback leagues at all when I say that. But I think that playing super flex leagues has also made me better at one quarterback leagues, to be honest with you, even with different strategies.
Yeah, I think you get that with like even different scoring methods. The more versatile you are, easier to adjust, it helps you on all different leagues. That's why we've been doing the series with different like league strategies and draft strategies. Like last week we went 0 wide receiver. It's kind of went down in the super flex here. We're gonna do a couple other ones, but it's just the more leagues you're in, the better it makes you at home. And the more kind, I think it's better. Now with the super flex, do you have like a preferred just standard quarterback scoring, anything like that, or is it more you're not as big of a deal for that for you?
I mean, I don't really care, to be honest with you. I'm going to play, if I'm setting it up, I want some PPR. I'm going to have points per carry, tight end premium, some of the basic things that we've started to add to them, but I don't take it too much further, to be completely honest with you. And, if you ask me to be in a league with you, I'm probably not even going to ask you what the scoring is, to be completely honest with you. I'm just going to figure it out as I go and play. You know, I figure we're all playing with the same scoring and settings, and nobody has an advantage unless you don't adhere to the settings within that league.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that way too. Now, popping in the strategy with it, early on in the draft, what's your goal to have, like, your first few rounds? Like, what do you want with Superflex draft?
So you mentioned, like, Scott Fishbowl and going into that. And for that, like for a redraft format, I still want like to have my 3 to 4 quarterbacks if I can, but it's not as important to me. I'm really happy if I leave with 3. But for Dynasty, I really want to leave with like 4 to 6 quarterbacks in my super flexible or my super flex startups. And I know that sounds kind of intense, and it's improbable in this new climate though, because quarterbacks are going earlier now, which is so nice to see. So I mean, you really need to trade into the second and have an extra second round pick and or an extra third round pick to even feel like you can secure that third or fourth one this year, which is awesome to see. But that's other people evolving as well, and you almost need to like redefine the strategies a little bit and find other ways to be okay if you do miss out on those having 4 to 6 quarterbacks now, because you probably are only going to get 3 with ease, and then you might get somebody like Mac Jones and Drew Lock later in your drafts. But it's not like it has been the last couple of years from what I'm seeing within mocks and startups this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting
but
more.
I'm quarterback more early and often to answer that simply.
That was my next. So first 4 rounds, do you want at least 2 QBs?
Yeah, well, I probably, if I can, I want 3 or 4.
In the first,
unless like the right player seems to fall. Like, yeah, man, absolutely. Yep. I really do.
Wow.
And I truly believe that it's going to be harder to do this year and have quarterbacks that you feel good about. But yeah, I do. I want to nail them.
Wow. Now, Eric, your first few rounds super flex, what do you shoot for?
Well, after the story that I just told you, if I'm ever in a super flex league again and the first 4 rounds come around, I'm making sure I have at least 2 and probably 3. So, Shane, you were cutting out when I was telling this story earlier. My first super flex league, it was literally the first league I ever did with Ryan. I had Jimmy Garoppolo and Andrew Luck, and obviously Luck retired. Garoppolo got hurt. I had no quarterbacks in a super flex league. right. Yeah. I had to trade for Tom Brady in 2019 when he was still the last year with the Patriots when it was not good, and that was what I got stuck with. So you can get caught with your pants down in a super flex.
Yeah.
You can get embarrassed badly. I have no gripes with what you said going early and often and walking away with multiple quarterbacks, at least three in the first four rounds. I don't have a gripe with that.
And that's just it. Like when you're really in that situation where you don't have those quarterbacks, that's when you know how important it is, because nobody wants to trade you one. You think you can just go out and get one, and you start to realize, like, and for me, my big awakening in that was a 14-team super flex. I took over a pretty hurting orphan, and it was just awful. And trying to rebuild that team was such a fun challenge, but it was frustrating at the same time to know how neglected that team was at that position, and trying to turn it around. It was a good learning experience as well, though, and it made me never want to neglect the position.
Exactly.
I feel like I get myself caught with that. Like, I always try to get at least one in the first few rounds, and I don't know if it's ego or something, where I'm like, oh, I could pull somebody in the fourth round or the fifth round. And I just keeps sliding. Like, that's where it kind of hurts me a little bit. But I definitely
it's hard. You see so many studs that have, like, so much sex appeal to you while you're taking these less sexy quarterbacks. You know, you're passing on Nick Chubb. Like, all these guys just keep going. You're like, wow, Michael Thomas really fell here. Oh, yeah. But I've got to take another quarterback. Like, I talk to myself a lot.
I hear that. If you're in a 12-team Superflex league and you're, say you get to like pick 10, that's your pick, and Christian McCaffrey's still on the board, and you're debating between Christian McCaffrey and like somebody like Kirk Cousins, it's like, oh boy.
I'm taking McCaffrey.
Yeah, right. Like, it's like, I don't care if it's Superflex. I think I'm gonna
Yeah, I'm with you there. Barkley too. I think Barkley's a bargain this year.
Yep.
Where's your cutoff in that first round then for quarterbacks, where you're going, Chris McCaffrey? Like, I'd assume it's behind Mahomes, Allen.
I'd probably go Mahomes, Josh Allen, Murray. And then for me, I'm a big Herbert guy. And then at that point, I'm probably taking Barkley, then McCaffrey. And then probably coming back in. Lamar's probably the guy I'm going to let you take.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm just good with that. He's just the guy that if he falls to me more, like I'll add him to my team. But I know he's not going to. He just seems to be that guy that in that area that I'm taking, like my Herbert and those guys, somebody's probably going to scoop in and take Lamar, to be honest with you. That's just the way I've seen my drafts work out. But I don't hate what Lamar does for fantasy football teams. I just feel like I have security issues, and I feel like he's one of those players with his playing style that you have so much invested, and what you could lose in that investment because of how he gets you your fantasy points is more likely to happen. You know, you could maybe say the same about Kyler Murray, I guess, but
I was about to say, is Kyler in that same tier with you? I agree. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
I feel like the thing about Kyler is I feel like he can sling it if he needs to, and that team will.
Yeah. Running quarterbacks in general, do you steer away from them then a little bit and go for more safer options?
Oh, man. It's tough because I don't, and I know that it all comes back to Lamar. I like Josh Allen and some of those guys. I like what they could do on the ground, especially with like the scoring I mentioned to you with the points per carry. If you have that in your league, it really helps those running quarterbacks. So I do like what Lamar does. If we're playing Scott Fishbowl, I'm all about Lamar because of what he does on the ground. But if we're playing Dynasty, I want somebody that I feel better about. And I've just never been a Lamar Jackson guy.
That's fine. I mean, you're on with the Ravens fans. No big deal. We'll let it pass. But I get the Herbert. I get the Herbert love, what you mentioned. I'm all in on that. But
yeah.
Yeah. So you take Barkley, McCaffrey, and then back to QBs?
Then I'm probably, I mean, then at that point, I'd probably take Lamar.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that, you know, or in that area, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is probably going, but even then, I feel like you're paying for a quarterback at their ceiling, which I don't really like to do, or a projected ceiling. You haven't even seen him do it yet. So I'd almost rather have Joe Burrow in a weird way there, but that's when I'm probably starting to mellow out for a minute and taking some of those. I really like Nick Chubb still, Swift. That's when I'm starting to like probably take a couple of those guys on that turn and then dig back into the next quarterbacks that fall to me.
Yeah, I also agree with that take by Rove. Kind of,
but after that, I like my running backs a lot. Like, I'm probably taking quarterbacks and running backs the first seven rounds, just like nailing quarterback and running back.
That was kind of how I was getting to. With 10 QBs that early, you're mixing a couple running backs in. How does that make roster construction challenging for you? Going that QB early, like you have.
No, I mean I've found like I mean man I some of my teams are surprising to me sometimes, honestly, because I very much like neglect wide receivers, and I know you asked about the running backs and quarterbacks, but I very much neglect wide receivers. But then I look at some of my teams, and the wide receivers that I have are like Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, Terry McLaurin. Like, those are the wide receivers I have because I've drafted them late while they were coming into their rookie seasons. And so those are the wide receivers I have because I neglect those positions. And by the time you need your running backs and quarterbacks, I've went for those guys that were cheaper. And then I've gotten lucky. Like, but I can show you some teams where like you're starting these guys and I literally have DK, Justin Jefferson, Allen Robinson, and then Cortland Sutton and T. Higgins on my bench in a league where I have running backs for days, man. And I think that it's a market that it's the next market that you can actually control in Superflex after wide receivers because there's just not as many of them.
Yeah, and so last week we talked zero wide receiver strategy, and that really kind of ties into it where it's a position that you can easily get, and all those guys you described are not dart throws, but they're just high upside plays.
Yep, and they were at one point.
Yeah, they were. They're upside plays that, but you're not now. Are you avoiding guys who are maybe floor plays then in those rounds, like those mid rounds, or you're going for guys who can win for it, who you can take those home run swings on?
I mean, I think we all have players we don't like, or like we even like when we were talking about Lamar that you just kind of know you won't get because somebody likes him a little bit more. But I mean, if I can think of guys that I avoid, man, the quickest player that comes to mind is Will Fuller. And that's not even really much. You know what I mean? That's easy to avoid. He's not one of those early guys or anything. I'm just not a Will Fuller guy.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire because somebody else is going to get him, but I don't really avoid anybody. If they can put up points and I can get them in my lineup, I'm all about it. You know, I just know there's certain areas where my values don't agree with other people's.
Yeah. And that's the way you have to be because you want to build your roster how you want to. And
yeah.
People fall.
Absolutely, dude. I'm all about getting your guy because I have played that game before too, where you're like, okay, how many more rounds can I get and still get this player? Like one more round. And then I'm taking him, and then boom, like you take him three spots in front of me. And I'm like, damn it. Like I liked him better than the last two players that I drafted, but I assumed that nobody else liked him. And now I have these other two people that I like. I obviously drafted him, but I didn't get my guy that I liked more. I was playing the ADP games, you know?
Yeah. Now, I'm just going to talk about what that draft with Superflex is tight end. Is that something you just punt until later now with focusing on QB and running back, what you do?
Yeah. I mean, definitely have to a little bit. And then kind of the same thing, like I ended up with a lot of TJ Hockenson those years. And that was partly because I'm a Detroit Lions fan. But yeah, I don't like to pay for tight ends until we know. Like I would much rather go overpay for Kelce and feel good about that and know what I'm getting rather than pay what people are paying for, say, Kyle Pitts this year without quite knowing. And don't get me wrong, I like Kyle Pitts. I think he's going to be fine in the NFL, but I'm fine paying for Tyreek Hill after he hits. I don't want to draft Henry Ruggs because he hasn't hit. If he hits, I'll send you some offers and I'm fine to pay up, but I don't want those like fast, speedy guys on my team. Just kind of the same as the tight ends. I'm just kind of looking to stash them and get like Gesicki and Goddard and Evan Ingram and those type guys and just kind of keep streaming it a little bit through my roster. And if I have equity with all my quarterbacks or running backs, and then I'm that like position away, I'll go pay you for your tight end. But I don't like doing the draft, as weird as that sounds. I'd rather just pay up in a trade.
Yeah, and those positions like wide receiver or like a not premium tight end is like a lot easier to trade for.
Yeah.
Because running backs have their intrinsic value no matter what. And obviously quarterback does in this world. And that's where the difference is. Eric, what about you for that? Are you coming now? You're restarting how you're taking a super flex league. Are you going to just wait on the receiver as well, or how are you thinking about it?
I definitely agree with what he said about the going quarterback and running back early. It's because obviously quarterback has the premium tag on it, and then running backs, there's not as many good ones. There's just not, that position's just not as deep as wide receiver. Wide receiver, you know, like you said, you can get some really, really good wide receivers from round six on. So that makes sense to me. Tight end, I mean, if we're talking super flex, then I will devalue a tight end more so than in a regular league with just one QB. I would be fine with going with a late round, you know, Evan Ingram, like you said, Gesicki. If I can get a Noah Fant or something like that, that'd be fine by me. So I agree with the strategy that he's saying, like quarterback and running back early on, because obviously the running back's not deep and quarterback's premium, and then fill out the rest later on. You got to know your stuff though, and you're gonna have opinions on guys late round when it comes to wide receivers and tight ends. Then, and like you said, get your guy and have faith in that, because if he's your guy, if you believe he's really gonna hit that year, then go get him.
Yeah,
I saw you. I keep ending up with Robert Tonya on every draft I've done this year as my tight end. It just keeps happening for one of those guys. And I'm completely fine with it.
He's such a value for what he did last year.
He is, and he's their number two target right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real other – I don't know who the quarterback is, but there's no one else really catch the ball.
Yeah.
Other
than Logan Thomas is another one. Like, he's another great value tight end that I think is going to continue to put up numbers for us.
He's surprisingly old because he just broke out, but he had, what, a 20-target game this year or something absurd like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I played him that week. I remember it. all right, and with, like, we're talking about, like, when you're filling out those fifth, sixth quarterbacks in your roster, are these all starters? Are you trying to get all starters? Or are you getting, like, upside guys who have a chance, like Caltrans this year?
If I can, I would like them to be, but I mean, I also have teams where Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor are my third and fourth quarterback. You know, I do have those situations as well, but if I can, I would like to have five guys. Like, I would like to have Drew Lock be my worst quarterback out of like the four or five, if I could, but that's tough, you know. I don't think it's going to be as easy for anybody to build those kind of teams this year. Maybe I'm wrong, and I should hop in a startup and test it, not just mocks and stuff. But yeah, dude, I really, like, if I leave like round six and I have five quarterbacks I feel like my league fees have already been like paid for. Like, I feel good. Like, the entertainment was enough for me. I feel like I'm building a really good dynasty.
Okay. I love that. I don't know if I've ever been in a startup where somebody's had that many quarterbacks that quickly.
No,
I don't think I've ever seen somebody have.
Oh man, I'll try to trade in, you know, and all day, man. I mean, I think that, and I know that that's extreme, but to me, like, I think that if you go in, like, as a beginner going into a super flex dynasty league, I think that if you go into that sort of like trying to define gravity and what it is, and that quarterback's been added into this league to add value to the position, and I think if you devalue that and you're really like, you need oxygen, something to help you breathe, because like I said, you're just trying to defy gravity. And it, I don't know, man, it just they're so valuable. Even like Eric was saying, like, you get like to this position where you need to trade for a quarterback and you're going to pay up, but if you find the person in the league that was in the position he was, you can take care of your other needs on the plus side and usually get a player that was drafted 2-3 rounds before the quarterback that you have to trade that player to get. It's just it's the drive off value of a quarterback just outweighs some of the other positions.
Yeah, and if you have that many quarterbacks in your roster, that means somebody else is definitely scarce in the position. And the way people draft, runs happen. Like, when you see three quarterbacks go in a row, it's a good chance that stays and keeps mm-hmm. going that way. Like, yep. That's – I try to always, like – I'm a feeling I like to start the run rather than be part of it. It's like, I start trying to change.
Yeah.
Like, if you see him that much, you have FOMO.
Yeah.
You're terrified of it. And
yep. I agree.
Yeah.
And don't miss the run.
Yep.
No, because if you end up the first round of quarterbacks goes, you took a running back early, say you took Christian McCaffrey at 4. A lot of you could see 15 QBs that gone by the time you're up. And then you're looking at Kirk Cousins, like Eric said, and you're yep. a little nauseous about it.
I think you'd be lucky to be looking at Kirk Cousins if that was the case.
Yeah. You're taking Kirk Cousins and then helping you add Kellen Mond later.
Yeah. Listen, we see this a lot. It gets mocked in the community, and this should get mocked. The people, this is non-super flex we're talking here. The people who like take, I'm gonna be slick. I'm gonna take all the top tight ends and I'm gonna trade them to somebody. That never freaking works. I hate people who do that. No. But this is the one league where if you were to stockpile the quarterbacks, that strategy actually does work. Because yeah. then you have the quarterbacks. You find somebody like I was in the position. They don't have a quarterback. Their quarterback retired, got hit by a car, whatever it was.
Yeah, and then you trade them Drew Lock.
Yep, you trade them Drew Lock. They give you a wide receiver that's not worth Drew Lock, and that's how you do super flex. So yeah. That strategy works here. That's yeah. where
and
this strategy
comes. People don't want to pay like the value that they're worth. I mean, you just hold them. Somebody eventually will, or you just keep going on, and it'll eventually, I think, turn into success.
Yep.
Yeah, and they'll come knocking to you if you have that many yep. quarterbacks. If you're looking for a trade, you need a position. They're going to look for somebody that's a stockpile.
Yep.
And so you're going to get trade offers, and then when somebody else starts to trade, you're always at the advantage. And you're right. Tight end, it doesn't make sense. This, it does. It's a scarce position. You can find somebody, a tight end, to score you a touchdown, one touchdown every 3 weeks, almost every time.
Yep.
Now, I just kind of want to hit this real quick. Rookie draft strategies is similar. Like, your first 5 picks this year would be quarterbacks.
Or 4
picks, depending on how you feel about Mac Jones.
Yeah, if I've got only one pick in the first round – then yeah, I'm probably targeting a quarterback until like I'll probably take the first 4 quarterbacks and then I'll take a break and then take Mac Jones like 107 to 108. I've taken Mac Jones as early as 108, but that was because the other guys were gone. I had one though where I had a 102, a 106, and a 108, And for that one, I did it differently. And I just kind of played the room, and I took Harris at 102, knowing that at least one quarterback was going to fall to me at 106 within that top, the next guys. But then Justin Fields fell to 106. And then at 108, I got Zach Wilson. And it was crazy to me and how I feel about Superflex. Super so I added,
wow.
It could have played
something
out
went wrong
any
there.
Better. Yeah, dude. I'll show you guys a picture. It's freaking crazy, but yeah, I was surprised and pretty stoked.
What did they take? Wide receiver? Did they go Chase or Pitts?
I think they went Pitts. Definitely Pitts. Pitts went, Trey Lance went, and Chase. And then I think that left Justin Fields at 106. And then, man, I think it was ETN. Yeah. I'll have to look at the draft board. Yeah.
Somebody got really scared off by the Jets, huh?
Yeah. And I think
they're just like, Zach Wilson, I like him. But the Jets.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
something.
I think that was an outlier, in my opinion. I don't think that should happen or will happen.
I don't think I've seen a super flex where all those four quarterbacks made it past six.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. And the big one I want to talk about, you mentioned earlier, I really wanted to jump on it then, but I just wanted to wait, was you mentioned about that rebuild where you're light on quarterback and you have to trade for quarterback. How does this go for you? Like acquiring QBs.
So Travis Etienne went 105 in that one. Yeah. So yeah, that's crazy. It went Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Travis Etienne, and then I took Justin Fields at 106. Then Ja'Marr Chase, then Zach Wilson. But yeah, sorry. I was completely listening to you. So for me, like, dude, it's so hard when you're in those positions, but I'm going to pay up. I'm going to probably start coming at you with my future picks first, if I can, and hopefully either add them. I'm going to add them and look at your needs. I'm going to go through though, and I'm not going to be picky. If I'm in a position where I need a quarterback, you're not going to go get, I'm not going to go after all my favorite guys. If I can get them, that's awesome. But I'm going to the team that has the quarterback depth that I need to make this move. So I'm going to probably pull up every roster and I'm going to look and I'm going to be like, okay, Ryan's only got two quarterbacks too. Like he can't make a move with me. And like, oh, Eric's got like four, like maybe this will work. And you know, I might try the teams that have three, but I'm looking for the teams that have four or five. And then I'm going to give them a little bit above what I feel fair market value is, even if it's Drew Lock. I traded a 2022 first for Drew Lock a couple weeks ago, and it was accepted within like 30 seconds. You know those trades that you're kind of like, huh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And I was almost just like testing the market. It's a $10 buy-in, what cheaper like league that we've had around for a while. Still I'm competitive though, you know, I want to win, but I threw that out. It was instantly accepted. I needed a quarterback. I feel like Drew Lock's going to have the job for the year. And to me, that's worth a future first. But then like other guys, like I go after, I have a lot of Sam Darnold and Jared Goff now, but I got them months ago when, you know what I mean? Before the price went up a little bit, I was just sending out like what I thought they would be worth today. I can't pay you what they're worth today because you want a little bit more in most cases I'm seeing, but I paid what I thought they would be worth today months ago. And that's how you get your super flex quarterbacks. If you need to, you pay up. You pay two firsts for guys like Carson Wentz and, you know, future first. I don't want to give you 2021s while we're during the draft, but that's how you get your quarterbacks, you know, and trading away players when they're hyped up and make stuff happen, you know, downgrade your DK Metcalf to somebody that's getting shade like T Higgins and see if you can get Jared Goff added to it. But you're definitely have to give something to get something, especially this time of year. And everybody's focusing on what they have and everything's shaking out and they can see that Sam Darnold's the starter, Jared Goff's the starter. But months ago, people were like, oh, Jared Goff's going to be replaced in the draft. Sam Darnold's not going to have a job. Those things didn't happen. So
Okay. Like, that, and that's how, like, you want, so essentially you're going for the guys who people are not, don't want.
And if just, I'm in need of a quarterback, that's probably my first avenue, yes.
And then just kind of, I guess, slowly work your way up with it. Like, coming in on a team like that bad one, how many years behind does that put you if you're in a bad shape quarterback? Or like Eric's team that he mentioned where he had Jimmy G and Andrew Luck and ended up having just Tom Brady. Like, how far back does that set you?
Far.
Yeah, it definitely can, and you can see shifts of like, wow, I need to try to rebuild this team, but I don't think it has to take as long as to rebuild some of these teams as we want it to. Like, so many times people want those picks and they want to go for value, and they see themselves in these situations where they feel hopeless, and I'm kind of like more using that equity to try to fix it today rather than wait. So you can also, like, if you find somebody like Jared Goff being on an 11th seed team, that team probably feels inferior to other teams and might overvalue they might even overvalue a 2024. Some leagues I've seen 2024 trades already be traded, which I know sounds crazy to some of the listeners, but that's happening. But I mean, you do have teams that you'll see it all the time. Like, this player's on the block looking for picks. And I'll go to those teams and I'll be like, well, I've got this guy's young. And they're like, I like him a lot, but I only want picks because this team's not ready yet. And they're just like constantly looking for picks, picks only. So it's crazy, but I'm always giving that. It's like you're taking out a loan and the interest is that pick's going to be worth more in 2 to 3 years. But in the meantime, I'm putting some change in my pocket and,
yeah, I like that, man. I always see myself low on draft picks. I think we put a lot of stock into it. When you can have something who has an instant impact for you. Like, Jared Goff, for better or worse, could be a starter for you. It's a bad defense. That team's going to have to throw a lot. Yes, there's not many weapons, but there's value there.
Right.
And we see it. Sam Darnold, same thing. They're going to throw the ball a lot, and he has great weapons now.
Yeah. Even Derek Carr. You know, like when you start to hear stuff like Aaron Rodgers is getting traded to the Raiders, you go make an offer for Derek Carr because people like get so stuck on Aaron Rodgers going there to take his job, and the common sense is that if he does, Derek Carr is going to have a job somewhere else in the NFL. So you're still going to have a starting quarterback. It's probably just going to be in a different system. And Derek Carr has done pretty well for us in fantasy, you know, so, and that's when you kind of pounce. You have to like kind of see through all the noise and just kind of realize, you know, Drew Lock is not the same. He could go to another team and not have a job. Kirk Cousins, he's probably going to land on another team and have a job for at least a couple years here and there, some of those players. But so I don't know. I'm all about going for things people don't like when I can create my own narrative.
Yeah. Now, do you even try for guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick or like some of these journeymen who you think will get some starting points during the year?
Oh, man. So he's one that so far I kind of feel like I'm going to be eating a little crow on. But I don't, to answer your question. So, dude, I traded Ryan Fitzpatrick plus everywhere I had him to get Dalton. And it's not, it's like a cheap bottom of the, like, your team moves. Like, they're not moves that are gonna hurt my teams for long at all, because it was like adding a third or fourth to Ryan Fitzpatrick to go get Dalton. And I already feel like I've lost those trades because I think that Justin Fields probably does start week one, if not pretty early on. But I also, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick has played 16 games, I think it's 3 times in his career. And the last one was 2015, I believe. It just doesn't happen very much. So what I've been telling people to do is to go get as much Heineke and Allen as you can and just wait to see Kyle Allen wait to see who that second stringer is, and that's the guy that I want off that team. I will do some patchwork, but I feel like it's for week one or two if you go to get Fitzpatrick, and I don't think that you can get him for that price. I'd almost rather just go get Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills, completely honest with you.
Yeah. I completely am okay with that.
16 years, he's played three times, he's played 16 games. It's not that cool.
No, it's really not.
He's cool. He's super cool. Don't get me wrong. We've seen him do cool things. But he looks cool. He's got some swagger, but I don't know, man. I just can't get behind it.
Yeah. Last one I got for you. Who's your dude, rounds 3-4 quarterback wise that you want to get? Either going to be a young stud or somebody you just want to have on your team?
Rounds 3-4, I feel like that's the area that I'm probably getting, Joe Burrow, probably some Trey Lance, some of those guys in that area. Tua, I've been adding a lot of Tua in that area. I'll take Tua before most of the rookies in this class. After Trevor Lawrence, I'll take Tua.
I love hearing that. I feel like we were just talking about Tua and how – it's all there for him, man.
Yeah.
The system's there. He has weapons. I'm all for it.
Yep.
Eric, you got a guy in that range now you like?
I feel like Eric didn't get to talk at all tonight. I feel bad.
I like listening during these strategy sessions because I basically just sit here and take mental notes. Because I don't know, man. That Superflex League a couple years ago, that really – oh, man, that was a nightmare going through that.
Oh, man, I love them now. I'm in 25 or 26 dynasties, and only one is a one quarterback league now.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
You just gave me anxiety managing that many leagues. Oh, my God.
Dude, I haven't done one startup this year, though. That's been so hard. But just kind of knowing the anxiety isn't now, but it's when you're putting in waivers. It's when you're setting lineups. That's when it's ridiculous. Not this time of year. This time of year, it's fun. It's easy to get in a startup. But I've been able to hold back. So,
yeah, it's the drafting part's easy. It's when you're managing all those rosters.
And look at me, saying how Eric hasn't gotten to talk and then take it right back from him.
You're good. But
Awesome. So refresh everybody where they can find you. And
oh, we're still not going to let Eric talk?
I'm good. We're good.
I'm just Eric, who's your dude in that area? I know we've talked a lot of QBs, but I know you got to have a guy right now.
Rounds 3 and 4. I mean, you said you'd take two over the rookies. The one I probably wouldn't take him over is Lance. I would probably take Trey Lance over Tua. Trey Lance, if he's in that range, I'd probably go after him in that area.
Yeah, man, I don't hate that either. He's the youngest guy of all the rookies, and I think that he landed with the best organization to actually build around him and to care about him and to give him an actual decent shot at success. Him and Mac Jones, as crazy as it sounds, those two are on the two teams that I think will actually help the quarterbacks the most, and good organizations that will want those picks to succeed.
I know.
I'm not putting Mac Jones above the other guys.
Oh no. I totally get what you're saying. I'm a Patriots fan. I understand what you're saying. I know that it's kind of popular right now to laugh at Mac Jones and the Patriots, but I'm with you, man. I think he landed in a pretty darn good spot. And
so do you think Cam starts week one?
Right now, if you had to tell me gun to the head, yeah, I think Cam does start. But listen, it's going to come down to training camp. They're going to get in there. They're going to go against a very good Patriots defense in practice. And whoever moves the ball best is going to be the one who starts. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Could be Mac Jones.
And so much of that 15? Cam Newton – sorry. So much of that Cam Newton contract is – playoff incentives. Mm-hmm. They could cut bait and not even worry about any of that with Cam.
They could.
I think you're right, though. I think Cam starts, but I'm rooting for Mac Jones, man.
He's getting a lot of rave reviews right now, but they're only in shells, so I'm not getting into that. But we'll see.
I'm only rooting for him if he rocks number 50. It's the only way.
He will not wear one number 50.
he needs to stick with number 50, and I'm cool with him. That's the only way.
Did you see the article about that?
I know the story behind the rookie numbers that they got.
Everybody, don't you?
Yeah, to make make it feel like they have to earn their way into the NFL. I do like that. That's fine.
I think you should man up and stick with it.
He will not. He will not. It's annoying because I want to know what number he's going to wear. But
buy a jersey if you want one, or just to know.
Yeah. Maybe.
It'll be 10.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be 10. We'll see.
Yeah.
The dog agrees. 10.
Yeah, that's my sign off. That was me, Matt.
Awesome. Shane, tell everybody where they can find you before my dog has a brain aneurysm.
I'm at Swagzilla. At Swagzilla0G on Twitter. And then, yeah, check out Super Flexible Podcast. That's at Super Flex Pod on Twitter. At Rookie Fever. Doing a lot of stuff, man. So always fun, man. Love chopping it up. Appreciate you guys a lot.
Awesome, man. Really appreciate you coming on. As for me and Eric, thanks a lot for checking out the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated Draft Bible. And remember, if you enjoyed the episode and haven't subscribed already, hit that subscribe button, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll catch y'all next week.
Later, taters.